Morning, everyone. Thank you, Ivan. Before we get to the Word of God, I just really did sense also this morning I opened up a packet of biscuits, and on the outside it was all fine. The packaging was great, but inside the biscuits were broken. And I just really just sensed from the Lord that we maybe represent many of our lives, that we carry this mask on the outside that everything's fine, but inside the aspects of our lives that is broken. And the Lord really encouraged me to encourage you is that God is still a healer. But the only way he can heal is when we submit himself to his scalpel, to his outworking of his healing. And I really just, if that's you today, I really just believe the Lord wants to come into your life and come and do healing. He's still the Lord, the healer. And the aspects that you might not even recognize, but if you just surrender all to him and allow him to come and bring healing, that might not be an instantaneous thing. Some of these things that are deep in our lives, the emotional side of our lives, the aspects of things of brokenness, the trauma, the things that we have been through, God wants to restore us. And I just really just sense the Lord just saying to all of us, will you surrender to his healing power? So often we want him to heal us instantaneously, but sometimes it's a work of grace that needs to take place. So if you're in that place, will you surrender and respond to him? Amen. Father, we just thank you for the word today. We pray for its outworking of grace and power. And I pray, Lord, that everyone would hear what the Spirit of God is saying today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. That's a very important aspect I want you to, as I preach today, is will you hear what the Spirit of God is actually saying to you individually as we go forward? So the title of my message today is Vision Now and Forever. And the Lord just dropped in my heart last night as I was preparing. And the question I want to ask you, do you have another man's vision? You know, when we've come out of the world, God's placed us in his kingdom and he's placed us in Christ. And you know, when we allow Jesus to be Lord of our lives, that means that we need to surrender all and we need to come under his love and under his authority. And you know, his vision needs to become our vision. And we're all guilty because the world teaches us differently. And sometimes we put ourselves first. And I just really wanted to say, God wants us to be in a place to him to be first. And that's a difficult one for all of us. You know, the Lord said to his disciples and says to us also, deny self, take up your cross and follow me. And that sounds so simple, but we really need to take that to heart and surrender all. So I want to ask you today, have you surrendered all to him? Are you abiding in him in all that you are and who you've been? And are you resting in him in all that you are? And out of that, you will start to find Christ and go forward. See, Christ needs to be our vision. He needs to be our all in all as he is all. In Colossians 3:11, it says, but Christ is all and is in all. That is God's vision. God doesn't have another vision other than Christ. He's placed us in Christ. And as we live our lives, it needs to be Christ. And Christ is not just an entity. That's the person, our Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to go forward with that. You know, the important thing is for vision, we need to know who we are and we need to know that God has brought us into his kingdom, that we are born again, that we are his new creation, and that he wants to work his purposes and his plans in our lives. You know, I remember back in the business world, when I was still there, we used to go through the planning cycle and we used to do 5-year plans and we used to do annual plans and then the annual budget. And we used to do all the strategy coming together. Now, the kingdom of God is not much different. We have our head, which is our Lord Jesus Christ, and he has a plan. And so often we're not hearing what he is actually saying to us. And we need to get behind what he's actually saying to us. So I want to really encourage us today. The scripture says, for lack of vision, my people perish. And I want to just encourage us as we lead you, part of church on the way, and guide you. I really want to ask you to start again to find out the vision that God has for your life. And that's an important thing. And we want to just put some pointers in there today to guide you and to go forward in that. One of the things that I've really found in this time with COVID-19 and with the difficulties that are happening, the devil has been very good to rob us of our vision and rob us of our ability to dream. And God doesn't want that. He wants us to be in a place where we will dream again, that we would hear what the Spirit of God is saying, and we would go forward. It's not just a wait and see. We need to find the creative ways of God. We need to be hearing the Spirit of God, and we need to go forward in what he has for us. So again, the theme of this message is vision now and forever. So if you turn your Bibles, the text that I'm using is a very simple text, but a very profound text, is from Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. And it says, yeah, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that's what I want to really just bring in this aspect of vision. What is the vision of Christ? Of yesterday, today, and forever. So those are the three points that I want to get through today, is yesterday, today, and forever. So firstly, yesterday. Yesterday is about history. And if you understand the word history, it's about his story and how God has actually worked through the times past and brought his plans to purpose. And as we understand that God was the creator and through Adam and Eve, and then he brought Abraham and Moses, he brought the law, and through the prophets it led to the time of Jesus. And then there was the finished work of the cross, and that was all fulfilled. And we read that in the scriptures, and we see what God actually did yesterday. And we need to understand that, and that's a very important aspect. We need to understand the finished work of the cross and what Jesus accomplished on the cross. And in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3 to 5, this is like a summary of what the gospel is and the finished work that God accomplished on the cross. For what I received, I passed on to you as first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and he appeared to Peter and then to the 12 disciples. So there's the reality through the culmination of history. It came and was fulfilled at the cross, the finished work to translate us out of the old covenant into this new covenant, to be born again as we believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus died for us and was buried, and he rose on the third day. And that sounds like insignificant, but that is an incredible. There was a death and there was a resurrection, and Jesus became the firstborn from the dead. Do you realize that? And as we believe in him, we become born again, we become alive in him, and we, as the scripture says, we become a new creation. Now that is the beginning, and we need to understand God's vision is to place us in Christ. And when we understand that, and today we understand that we are in Christ because we have believed, not because what we have done or what rules would we have obeyed, but because we believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ and allow him to become our Lord and Savior, we have been placed in Christ. And when we understand that God's vision was to do that, that we would become his children, that we would become the sons of God, and that has been fulfilled through the finished work of what Jesus has done. So today, we must understand what yesterday achieved, that we can start to live in today. Now, that is very important. We need to know the past of what Christ has fulfilled, that we need to know that today, where we are in Christ. So when we understand that, that is the beginning. As newborn, as born again, those are found in the kingdom of God, that we have a start, that we are founded in Christ, now we can go forward. So the second point is today. What is the vision of today? And then in Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 to 15, I read it to you. See to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God, but encourage one another daily, as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We have come to share in Christ if we hold firmly till the end and our confidence we had at first. So here we see we've been called to come into Christ and to hold firmly to Christ. So this is so important, is that not only are we born again, but we are called to be part of Christ and to live in Christ as our vision, to be led by the Spirit of God and to know the life of God that has been given. Jesus promised us to give us eternal life. And we are to experience that life and the blessing of that life today. So I want to remind you, as we live today and as a church and as God has led us, I want to remind you of the vision and mission of us as a people at Church on the Way. This is not just an organizational vision and mission. It's really been birthed by the Holy Spirit. And I really do believe is that we take this again to heart as I remind you of what it is, and take it to heart, and we start to allow the Holy Spirit to work it in, fulfill it in our lives, that's when the reality of today and the vision of God will be fulfilled in our lives. So what is our vision as Church on the Way? It's to know our Lord Jesus Christ and to make him known and go and partner with Holy Spirit. Now, you've heard that many times, but is it a reality to you? Is it something that you remind yourself of what God wants to do in your life? Firstly, it says there to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you know, we are called not only to be in Christ, but we've come into a living relationship with the living God. And I'll ask you today, do you allow the Holy Spirit to get to know the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you know him for who he is? Now, I'm not just asking you, do you know him as a friend, as one that speaks to you, but do you know him as the living God, as the Son of God, the one that is omnipotent, omniscient, that is all-powerful, the one that is merciful, the one that is full of grace, the one that is forgiving, the one that died on the cross for you, that understands you and understands your human nature and all that you are going through? Do you know the living Christ? And not knowing him far away, but also knowing him inside your heart. Now, Jesus was asked by the Pharisees, where is the kingdom of God? And what did he say to them? He said, the kingdom of God is within you. And I want to just say to you, that kingdom, this Christ that you believe upon, is living in your heart. And but do you know him in your heart? And I really believe that's the vision of a part of what we do today, is that you've got to get to know the living God. We don't serve him through rules and regulations. We don't serve him through our good deeds. We serve him by knowing him. And as we know him, the Holy Spirit leads us to fulfill the life of Christ in our lives. Now, that sounds so simple in this time. Mark, what do you want us to do? I really want you to get to know your Lord Jesus Christ, that you would know his voice, that you would hear his instruction by the Holy Spirit, that you would know the wonder of his love, that you would know the wonder of his grace and the sufficiency of who he is as you go forward in life, because this has eternal ramifications. Because when you know him, you're going to know him for eternity. That is the mark of a true Christian, they that know their Lord. Because when you know him, you can go and testify to him. Because Jesus said, you'll be my witnesses. Why? Witnesses of what? Witnesses of knowing him. So as a church, as we go forward, we have a great task to do. Yes, we have to go and tell people about the Lord. But you've got to know him first. And I want to just encourage you in this time of difficulty, is get to know your Lord. He's an incredible God. He's a wonderful God. It's not just about praying. It's not about just reading your scriptures, but get to know him for who he is. It's not always a outworking of the miracles, and that those things need to happen. But do you know your Lord Jesus Christ? And I challenge you, and I challenge myself. I think it's such a key thing for us to go forward. You see, that comes from Ephesians chapter 4, 11 to 13. It tells about those that are given authority and those are given tasks to actually lead us into the fullness. But it says in verse 12, they are there to prepare God's people for the works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we reach the unity of faith in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature and know and attaining the whole measure of the fullness of God. What is it there? Until we come to the knowledge of the Son of God. That is to know him. Not having academic understanding and theology, even though that is good, we must come to know him. And out of that, we become mature. And when we become mature, then we come to the fullness of Christ. Now, I don't understand the fullness of that, but God wants us to grow into the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And that is for you and I. And I want to ask you to think about that, to purpose your life in that, get to know your living God. Not just in the aspects of our understanding, but let the Holy Spirit reveal the magnitude and the wonder. And then, folk, we can do the works of service. Then we can go and make him known. Sometimes we get it so wrong and we're running around and we're doing all these things to tell people about the Lord, but we don't know him. But when we know him, we can go and tell him. You know, the early disciples walked with the Lord, and when they walked with him, they had a revelation of him from the day of Pentecost, that he is the living God and that he was within them. And then when they went to like the back gate, beautiful, what was it? He said, I don't have anything, but what I do have, I give to you. And they knew that who was inside of them was the Lord Jesus Christ. So I want to encourage you with that today. Get to know your Lord Jesus Christ and then make him known and partner with God, the Holy Spirit. That's another aspect. And I want to encourage you, get to become a friend of the Holy Spirit, and he will lead you into the fullness of Christ. And then thirdly, I want to say forever. Now, that is the aspect, was yesterday, today, and forever. And we've got to be able to be seen forward. And God wants us to have this hope. In Titus chapter 2, verse 13, while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I want to just say is that earth is not our destination. We are still to go forward. And God has a destination for us. And we know that destination is to be with him forever in heaven. And we all go in there, but we have a time to spend on earth. And I really do believe God is preparing his church, as even today, as Sally said, we are the bride of Christ. We are being prepared for the marriage of the Lamb of God to his bride, which is us. Are you getting prepared for that? Are you preparing yourself for that future event that's going to take place? The supper of the Lamb, where we read in the book of Revelation, these things are going to take place. And even as we read in Thessalonians and we've preached in, is the rapture, it's the taking away of his church to be with him before the tribulation. And I want to encourage you, we need to be preparing for God to come in to take us away. The Lord's coming to fetch us and take us away. And this is the blessed hope that we need to have. You see, in Romans chapter 8, verses 22 to 23, it says in verse 23, we have the first fruits of the Spirit and groan inwardly as we wait for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. And as we live in this world and God has left us here to have a testimony of Jesus here, we groan inwardly by the Spirit of God. What are we groaning about when we look at this world and we see the world in its brokenness and we have this longing to be with our Lord forever? The Bible says that we are foreigners, we sojourners here on earth. But I want to encourage you at this time, even though we groan inwardly and the whole of creation is groaning inwardly and waiting for redemption, I want to just say to you is this is the blessed hope that we have. Even though there is an aspect of a longing in our heart at this point in time, we have a future with our Lord forever. In Romans 8, verse 18, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed in us. And here we've got this incredible future, the rapture of the church and the second coming when Jesus will be the judge of the living and the dead. There's a future for us. And Revelation 21 verse 1 says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there was no longer any sea. And even in Peter, it says in 2 Peter 3:13, but we keep with this promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, a home of righteousness. So I want to just encourage us, there's a future, there's a blessed hope of a new heaven and new earth that will be with our Lord forever, and carry that in our heart. In conclusion, when Paul wrote to the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 22, if any man not love the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be cursed. But then the word also says, Maranatha, come Lord Jesus, come. They carried in their hearts of living today in Christ and the fulfillment of Christ, but in their heart they say, come Lord Jesus, come. So in conclusion, I want to say Jesus is the same yesterday, today and forever, and we need to understand that wholeness of his vision that he has for us as his people. What he accomplished yesterday, what he's doing today by his Holy Spirit as we come to know Christ and to make him known on earth. But then there's a forever where he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. There's a new heaven and a new earth, and we find the fullness of our redemption as the sons of God. So I encourage you today, have this vision in your heart of what God wants to do in and through you as you live in him and see the future that we have together. One day we will be all together in heaven and we'll be rejoicing and we will see the Lamb of God and we'll be worshiping at his throne. We need to see what our future is. We cannot just be sitting in this seemingly quagmire of where we are in this difficulties now. There is a future. There's a wonderful, glorious future for every one of us. And I want to just say for those, death is not the end. Death is a glorious beginning to this future that God has given us. We have died. We've died in Christ. Now we are alive in him forever and ever. You're not going to die again spiritually. You're alive forever and ever, even though our bodies may die, but they will be redeemed again. We have a glorious future in our Lord. So I really want to encourage you here today is that God has given us his vision. It's wonderful. Lay down your vision and take up his vision, and you will find this fullness of all that is planned for us. So as I finish up this message here today, I want to ask, is there anyone out there today that doesn't know the Lord? If you'd like to make a commitment, you don't know about this blessed hope of living in Christ. You do not know about this future of a new heaven and a new earth, and you'd like to be participating in that. And if that's you today, and even us today, if you've walked with the wrong vision, you've walked with your own vision, your own understanding of your purposes and your plans, I want to ask you to lay down your vision, to surrender all to Him, that you can truly abide in Him and rest in Him and find His vision and His purposes in your life today. And if that's you today, I ask you to respond to Jesus and allow Him to become your Lord and Savior. So can I like to pray with you? And those that want to make a recommitment to the Lord about your purposes, I ask you to respond to you as we make this prayer now. So if that's you today, will you say this prayer after me? Lord Jesus, I come to you and ask you to be my Lord and my Savior. And where I have been selfish and have run my own life, I surrender all to you and ask you to be my Lord and my Savior. Help me to follow you and to get to know you and to walk in a living, vital relationship with you in the intimacy of knowing your love and your grace. And help me, Lord, to fulfill those plans and purposes that you have for my life. And we thank you for that now in Jesus' name. Amen. I just wanted to say in closing with all that, as God gives us this vision, every one of us is different. And the outworking of the general vision is for every one of us, but there's a specific purpose and a specific plan for every one of us as God has created us. Some, we're all different, but that's the wonderful diversity of the kingdom of God and of who we are in Christ. We can be different, but we can be one in Him. So God bless you. Thank you for hearing what I'm saying to you, but hear what the Spirit of God is saying. Amen. Thank you, Ivan. Over to you.